We're turning to 1 Timothy chapter 6 for our text today, and we'll be studying, of course, God's good word for us today. Reading from 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 6 and following. Listen carefully to this text. Paul is writing, of course, to his young son in the ministry, Timothy, and he's writing some good information, some good instruction, well worth our hearing and applying in our lives. Again, 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. For those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the faith, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who possesses alone immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, and to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. And that's reading from verse 6 through verse 19 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're looking today at Paul's advice, or the Holy Spirit's advice through the Apostle Paul, to Timothy and through Timothy to us in the church. Instruction about what our attitude is to be. Instruction about what our actions are to be concerning the things of this world. We've been dealing with a series of messages on the subject of giving. We've seen that it all belongs to God, and when we hold on to that attitude, as it's expressed in Psalm 24, verse 1, for example, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, when we really remember that and focus on that and realize that it's all God's and not ours, it will keep our attitude one of humbleness before God. We're told to have the same attitude that was in Christ Jesus in Philippians chapter 2. And that attitude is one of humbling himself and taking upon himself the throne or the form of man, laying aside his glory for a time and being obedient to the Father, even to the point of death upon the cross. Now, we're told to have this same attitude in us. You see, Jesus looked at himself as being totally subservient to the Father, totally surrendered to the will of the Father. Now, he laid aside his glory for a time, and he took upon himself the form of a servant. Isaiah refers to him as the suffering servant, and indeed he was that, my friend, suffering for us, taking sin's debt, paying sin's debt for you and for me. Now, we're to have the same attitude. So first of all, we need to remind ourselves that our attitude about possessions, our attitude about things, should be like that of Jesus, should be like that advised by the Apostle Paul here. He said in verse 7, "For we have brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content." Does that describe you today? Are you content when you have food and covering? Or do you want more? Are you working your fingers to the bone in order to get more? You see, it is the love of riches that is the problem here. Verse 10 says, "For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang." Back to verse 9, "But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires." So they fall into a temptation, a snare, and fall prey to many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. Now, there's nothing wrong with possessions. There's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with wealth. It is a necessary commodity. It is a tool which we can use for the glory of God and for the honor of God, or we can use it as a selfish kind of ingredient. Like the rich fool, you remember, that said, "I will tear down my barns and build greater." Why? So I can store it, so I can hoard it, so I can keep it, so I can look at the size of my bank account and look at the size of my treasures, see? He wasn't using it for the glory of God. He wasn't sharing it with others in order that the needs of others might be met. You see, we have found that God enables us to get wealth from Deuteronomy in order that we may have to share with others, to give to others. We've studied that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 as well, that God enables us to get wealth in order that we may have an abundance to share with others, especially others in the body of Christ. God wants us to be a generous giver of what He has placed in our care. Now, this gets to the idea of our management of what God has put into our care. You see, God is going to hold us accountable for what He's placed in our care, my friend. Be it little or be it much, God is still going to hold us accountable for what He's placed in our care and how we have managed it. Now, are we going to be like the rich fool who decided he would build more barns, bigger barns, in order to have space to store all of his produce, all of his riches? That's a foolish man, you see, the one who hoards it, the one who just sits back and watches the bank account just grow and grow, and the stock portfolio grow, and his lands grow. Oh, my friend, God will hold you and me accountable for how we have used what He has placed in our care. Let me digress just a moment also to talk about our churches for a moment. The same thing is going to be true for our churches. You probably belong to a local church. Your local church has an attitude, a collective attitude about giving. Some churches are concerned about saving and amassing amount of money and building buildings and building monuments, building a bigger sanctuary, building a bigger life center. And what is it? It's satisfying their own needs. It's satisfying their own desires. It's satisfying their own wishes. Remember, my friend, God is going to hold us accountable. Now, you may say, well, we're building this in order to serve the needs of our people, to meet the needs of our people. We're building programs that will address the needs of every member of the family from the cradle to the grave. Well, maybe, and maybe not. I can't judge the attitude of your heart. I don't even want to try. But I urge you to judge the attitude of your heart. That's important. What is our attitude? Is it one of humility? You see, here in verses 9 and 10, we find that the love of money is the root or a root of all kinds of evil. Let's look at what it brings about. First of all, it brings about a conceit. It brings about a pride. Look what I've done, or look what we've done. Is there a kind of pride, collective pride, in your church? Look what we've done. Look at the building we have built. Look at the Family Life Center that we have erected. Look at the programs that we have. Look at our pastor, how wonderful he is. Look at our budget, how big it is. Look at the size of our congregation, how it is growing. Now, my friend, all of those things can be good if they're for the right purpose, if they're for the glory of God. But let us not kid ourselves, because it's very possible that we're doing all those kinds of things for our own gratification. You see, James points out that we ask and do not receive of the Lord because we're asking with the wrong motive, and that wrong motive that he identifies is that we may consume it upon ourselves, that we may have it for our own pleasure, for our own enjoyment. Now, we are to enjoy what God has given to us. In fact, we're told right here in Timothy that God enables us to have things for us to enjoy. But that isn't to be excessive. It isn't to be to the level of pride and conceit and arrogance. It isn't to the level of self-sufficiency with an emphasis on look what we've done or look what I've done. You see, it's the same sin, whether it's individual in each one of us or collective in the church. Look at the church of Laodicea, chapter 3 of Revelation. Jesus is speaking and he indicts this church and he says, "You're lukewarm. I would that you were hot or cold, one or the other, but you're lukewarm, and because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you or spit you or vomit you out of my mouth," he says. He goes ahead to say, "You think you are rich and wealthy and have need of nothing. And you do not recognize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." He said, "I have some advice for you, Church of Laodicea. I advise you to buy from me salve for your eyes that you may see, white raiments that you may clothe yourself." Oh, my friend, this church had it all wrong. And the Laodicean church is generally thought by most scholars as to represent the church of today, the typical church of today. I pray that your church is not like this. But my friend, I get concerned when I hear of churches that are spending $2, $3, $5, and $10 million to build monstrous facilities, monstrous sanctuaries, as they call them, monstrous buildings of gymnasiums and family life centers to serve the needs, quote unquote, of their own people. My friend, people are dying across this world because they don't have food to eat. And we're building huge buildings. God's going to hold us accountable, my friend. God will hold each one of us accountable for how we have used what He has placed in our care. And I would ask you today to do two things. Examine carefully how you personally are using what God has placed in your hands. The money, the property, the things, the talents, the abilities, your time. Examine how you're using it. Are you using it, first of all, for the glory of God? Are you using it to share with others and to help others? Are you using it to express your love for God and your love for others? The commandments Jesus gave us in Matthew 22, to first love our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Are you using what God has given you? Everything, the things, the money, the property, the wealth, the time that He has given you. Are you using it for His glory? And are you using it to be a blessing to others? Or are you hoarding it like the rich fool? Are you amassing it like the rich fool? Are you selfish and keeping it for yourself? You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. You ask with the wrong motive that you may consume it upon yourself. Examine your heart. Examine your attitude. Wealth itself is not a sin. It is the love of riches, the love of money that is a sin. Notice verse 17. Paul says to Timothy, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but fix your hope on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. God doesn't want us to not enjoy what He's given to us. He wants us to enjoy it, but He wants us to keep it in the proper context. We enjoy it with thanksgiving to God, realizing that it's God's and realizing that it comes from God, not from our own hands. There's no pride in it, my friend. There's no conceit in it. There's only thanksgiving in the proper attitude about things, in the proper attitude about riches. Our proper attitude about what we possess, be it little or be it great, is number one, to be thankful for God for it and realize that it came from Him and that it's loaned to us. It's not ours. It's God's. He's permitting us to manage it for a time for Him. Be your wealth great or small. Now, don't fall to the temptation to say, well, I worked hard for this. I earned this. You may have worked hard for it, my friend, but it's still God's. You may have worked hard for what you have, but it's still God's. He allowed you to have it. He placed it in your care. You didn't get it by your own wisdom, by your own strength, by your own ingenuity. God gave it to you. God has loaned it to you for a time. So careful with your attitude. realize that it came from God, realize that it belongs to God, realize that He's going to hold us accountable for how we use it, realize that we are to use it to honor Him and to bless others. Now, that pretty well sums up the attitude that we need to have, one of humility, one of thankfulness to God, realizing that it came from God, that it belongs to God, that is to be used to honor God and to be used to be a blessing to others. Now, if we apply those principles, then we should be in pretty good shape in managing whatever God has placed into our hands to use for His glory. Now, we need to understand what's important and what's not important. Paul says in verse 7, "For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either." We need to understand, we need to remind ourselves, that we will leave this world and take not a single possession with us. Our houses, our lands, our money, our bank accounts, our stock portfolios, all will be left behind. The only thing that's going to count is what we have set ahead. We need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is the first priority. We need to be like the Apostle Paul, who said, "I count everything as loss for the sake of knowing Christ Jesus." We need to understand that things, wealth, riches, possessions, are merely tools to be used for the glory of God and for the blessing of others. They are not an end in themselves. They are not something to be hoarded and to be stored away, but something to be used for the glory of God and for the blessing of others. Now, Paul says in verse 18, "Instruct them," and he's talking about in verse 17, "Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but to fix their hope on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy." And he continues in verse 18, "Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed." What's he saying? The same as the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." What is your attitude today? Are you using your time, using your abilities, using your talents, using your possessions, the money, the property, the things of the earth? Are you using them for the glory of God and to be a blessing to others? Or have you found yourself becoming proud? "Look what I've done. Look what I've amassed." Are you like the rich fool? "I have many goods laid up for many years. I will eat, drink, and be merry." Oh, my friend, what we have, God has placed in our care. What we have is from God. Let us be thankful for it. What we have is loaned to us by God to be used for His glory and a blessing for those around us. That's God's purpose in giving us whatever He's given us: our breath, our life, our time, our talents, our abilities, our possessions. We're to use them all for the glory of God and as a blessing to others. We're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, realizing that all these things are included. You see, everything's in Christ, my friend. It doesn't come from Christ, it's in Christ. We find everything we need in Christ. Colossians points out that all is in Christ. It pleased the Father to put everything in Christ. Everything is to be found in Him, my friend. Everything we need, everything we want, everything we desire is found in Christ Jesus. Seek Him first. As Paul said, count all things as loss for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ. Pursue Him. Paul here advises Timothy to guard the faith. Guard what is entrusted to you. He's saying the faith, the belief, the trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what's important, my friend. And Paul would say again in Philippians chapter 2, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first Him. Seek first God. Seek first the Lord Jesus Christ. So, my friend, today I would urge you to examine your heart. Examine your life. And as a member of a local church, take a look at your church. Are you using money, possessions, property, things, first to honor God, and secondly, to bless and benefit others? If you are, then you're doing exactly what God wants you to do with what He's placed in your care. My friend, realize that everything you have belongs to God. He's loaned it to you for a time, for you to use, to enjoy, but to use for His glory and as a blessing to others. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's my prayer today that you and me and all of us have our priorities straight. Seeking God, and with the Apostle Paul, counting all things as loss for the sake of knowing Jesus. That's a good word for today from God's holy word. I'm Gil Hammond.